All right. Hi, everybody. How are you doing? I'm Mike Sinise, executive editor for Make Magazine. And let's see if this is all set to go here. I'll jump out of this. That's loud. This is not in English. You want to help me pull up the one that is ours? So how many of you guys were at Maker Faire or Mini Maker Faire Oslo? Wow. Okay, good. So a lot of you guys are going to know what I'm talking about. That'll make things a lot easier. How many of you guys have been to a Maker Faire outside of Oslo? Somehow it's an even bigger number. That's great. Fantastic. Okay, so let's jump this. Actually, I don't know why I saved it on that slide, but we'll start with the start. And good. This could be bigger. Is there any way to make this larger? It's fine. You guys can see this, right? All right. So I'm going to run through my cheat sheet here. I want to run through, look at the maker movement over the last 10 years, which is really what the Make Magazine, Maker Media has been looking at since its launch. So one of the things, this is something that, being here in Norway, I got in last night, last time I was in Norway was 11 years ago. I was in Rome 2 weeks ago for Maker Faire Rome. But just being in Europe is such an exciting place, and it's such an exciting feeling. And it's such, and this also an incredible venue and a gorgeous spot. And I want to say thanks real quick to the organizers and to everyone that's put a lot of hard work into this, and to you guys for coming out. But one of the things that I keep thinking about, when I was on my honeymoon with my wife a couple years ago, we were in Portugal, and there was a story that we heard about Portuguese King Dennis. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it in Portuguese, but he, this is a late 1200s, and you guys probably know about this because in Europe, people are a lot more knowledgeable about history, especially history and politics that extend beyond their own borders. We tend to be very inward focused in the United States. But 1200s, King Dennis realized that there would be a strategic need for natural resources for his country. He realized if his country didn't have natural resources, they wouldn't be able to grow into the potential that he really wanted to see his country have. So he planted humongous, tremendous, gigantic forests around the Lisbon area. And he knew that he would never see these forests grow and turn into what his idea is for them to become. They served a double purpose. He also knew that these forests would help protect the wind erosion from the sea that was affecting some of the farmland areas close by that in that region as well. Fast forward 300 years later, so many generations later, and these forests, these pine forests, have grown and become these these gigantic, huge natural resource areas, and those became the natural resources that were used to build the fleet, the naval fleet that allowed in the 1500s Portugal to become one of the strongest seafaring nations, planting its flag around the globe. And I just think it's just the vision is something that I keep thinking is really interesting, and it's something that I keep trying to figure out. Okay, I'm gonna apply this to places. He knew he would never see the fruits of his labor. So evolution of the maker. We launched Make Magazine just about 10 years ago. January 2005, the first Make Magazine came out, and since then, this whole maker movement thing has really stretched into something really exciting and big, and we've, over the last couple years, we've really started dialing things down and looking at how is this developing and what are the segments that are growing. So we're currently we're looking at three segments. We've got the zero to maker segment, which would be someone that has started to hear about things making, this concept of making things, sharing, collaborative work, and getting excited about it. There's the maker to maker segment, which is the next step after you've gotten your hands dirty with starting to figure out how to do soldering or traditional bookbinding or things that you know you're working on, and you start talking to other makers. You start communicating and collaborating, and that knowledge grows and you blossom. And then there's the third segment, which is Maker Pro. And Maker Pro is really interesting because that's where someone's been working on the project long enough and they realize, we're going to take this and we're going to become a business with this, or I'm going to become a business with this. And there's a lot of really good examples of how this has become a real thing. And some of these examples are seated in this room right now. And they'll be talking later on. But what I'd like to do is run through a little bit of my vision or my view of this whole these three segments and how they've grown from a couple different lenses. So I'll start with the Make Magazine lens. My role as executive editor for Make Magazine is to help find and share great stories about people that are doing cool things, inspiring, surprising, interesting stories of things that people are making and doing that may not have occurred to people. And inspires them, and ultimately the number one goal for Make and Maker Media is we want to make more makers. So let's inspire people, let's excite them, let's share the information that they can do a lot of this stuff. So Make Magazine launched, first issue came out in 2005, and here's a couple of the first issues. The one on the left is issue number one, and issue number five is on the right. And how many of you guys have flipped through an issue of Make Magazine in the past? Oh God, like 100% of you guys. Great. So I'll just skip this whole section. We don't need to talk about this. So Make Magazine, it had this small academic journal-sized layout for a long time. And this year we launched a bigger, more mainstream-focused version of the magazine. We grew it physically in size, but also subscription and circulation size. And one of the things that we're really focused on doing with this evolution of the magazine, if we're thinking about Maker Evolution, is expanding the topics that Make is talking about, because for a long time Make Magazine's really been focused on a real technological angle, and it will always be that. That's our core, and that's where a lot of these exciting stories come from. Technology is always going to be very exciting to people, but there's a lot of things happening in the Maker movement that aren't technology-based. Both these covers don't really exemplify that. These are two of the most recent covers that we've done. And you can see on the issue on the left here, the Best Toys for Makers, which is currently on newsstands, we did a look at traditional building block, prototyping block, Lego, which all of you guys are familiar with, 100% of the world's familiar with Lego. But also, what's the Maker version of what the prototyping building block is. And we're within this Toys for Makers issue, we started talking to the Little Bits community. How many of you guys are familiar with Little Bits? Again, 100% just about. God, you guys, I don't have to do any of this. This is so easy. So Little Bits is another great example of that Maker Pro storyline. Aya Badir came up with an idea. She started working on it a few years ago. She officially launched her Little Bits line in 2011 at Maker Faire, and now she's like $15 million in with funding. She's got distribution around the globe, 72 countries, I think, at the moment, and just continues to grow. The product line that she has put out has continued to impress and surprise me with the amount of collaborations that she's putting together. A Lego collaboration does not officially exist. I've got a feeling that it would be, I think it would be a perfect match, and I wouldn't be surprised, the way that Little Bits is moving, I wouldn't be surprised if it's something that actually happens at some point, although I have no information, this is not me projecting any inside info. But this is one of those examples. We're looking at how the makers are pushing forward into this next realm here. So the next slide here, I need you guys to promise me that you're not going to take photos and tweet this, I think we're recording this, so this actually might. But I'm gonna give you a quick peek at an early version of what the next cover of the next issue of Make Magazine is going to look at. So all you guys promise, no projecting this out to the world, right? Until mid-November, when it hits the newsstands. So, looking at Maker Evolution. Wait, you guys, did you promise? Okay, good. This is So if you look at this, this is it's a very different look. And it's something I think it's really interesting, and I think one of the things that I get excited about with Make is taking some chances, and we get to play around with things and try new things, and that's what Make the Maker movement is really all about. What's really interesting to me here is if you look at the top corner, we've got the new Dremel 3D printer, major company, getting involved in the Maker movement. In the center, big image of the Local Motors Strati 3D printed car, which is a huge movement. We're at a point now in time where you can download a car. There's a joke that we've been making for years. You wouldn't download a car, but now you actually can download a car and you could print it out if you have the right equipment for it. Bottom corner is a little mention of the new Disney movie, Big Hero 6, which Disney decided we're going to do a Maker movie. And it's about a kid who's into 3D printing, plays around with drones and swarm bots, and builds an inflatable soft robotics friend, and then goes and fights the world. So really, it's interesting. As I looked at this after we assembled this cover, this is a really different thing than if we skip back up here, what we're looking at for these first couple issues. But at the same time, it's always very important for us that we are satisfying that cover-to-cover projects, things to do, make, things to put your hands to use with. And that's all going to be inside this issue, but it's a representation of how the mainstream has really jumped in, and we have an obligation to help tell the stories about how this is, this space that we all are in and are excited about has been evolving and moving and growing. So, okay, you guys can now continue recording, and let's talk real quick about Maker Faire. So I know a lot of you guys have been to Maker Faire. 2005, first Maker Faire Bay Area, 20,000 people. I was there with a different company, and this is not a very actually representative photo. I picked the weirdest photo I could find. It looks like it's not great, but this is just one corner of a huge event space. How many of you guys have been to any of the Bay Area Maker Faires? New York Maker Faire? Okay, so you guys have seen some of this. 20,000 people at the first Maker Faire, which is an incredible success. 2014, this is this year, New York Maker Faire, World Maker Faire New York. I believe the official number is 85,000, but Bay Area Maker Faire is even bigger than that, 135,000 people. 2014 also had a huge event. This may or may not be slightly photoshopped, but it was a really phenomenal event in the for this entire community. When the White House decides that they want to get involved in the Maker Faire aspect, that you're on to a good thing, and it's really validating a validating day for everything we're doing. So here's Russell the giraffe hanging out with President Obama. First time Russell had been anywhere further away from his San Diego home than, I think, Burning Man in Black Rock City, a few hundred miles away. So one of the things that I've always found really interesting at Maker Faire is that you can really start looking at, and by the way, I didn't take a peek, I don't have a timer. Can you guys flag me when, okay. So 3D printing is something that that I've always thought is interesting, because we've been able to watch the 3D printing world evolve through Maker Faire and through Make Magazine. And that's within the Maker Faire space. That's one of the things we've got this ability to see things as they're developing and do these regular check-ins and watch things grow. So that first Maker Faire, if you went into Expo Hall, which is this gigantic space in the middle of the San Mateo County Fairground, and you went to the back corner, there were four tables. And in those four tables, there was a handful of geeks, and they looked just like all of us. But these guys were huddled around a few machines that were just moving back and forth with something that looked like a caulking gun, just spitting out lines and strings of plastic. And I remember going over to these guys and saying, "What is that? What are you guys working on?" And they said, "Oh, this is a 3D printer." And I said, "Sounds cool." And I walked off and went and looked at, there's so many things, so it's hard to focus in on everything. But over the next few years, these groups, and these guys, these were the early guys working on a lot of the RepRap stuff, which you guys are obviously all familiar with. But the space evolved, and then you've got MakerBot coming out with its first kits, which became some of the first things where people are able to have, you know, these consistent kit-based projects, and then from there, this 3D printer space has grown and evolved, and you know, you've got new companies popping up all the way till 2 weeks ago. I'm in Maker Faire Rome, and I decided I'm going to take some pictures of some 3D printers here. I had no idea that I would see as many printers that I had never seen before. And I keep my eye on this stuff really closely. But I walked through and I took photos of every 3D printer that I'd never seen before. And it's kind of like when you come to Europe from the United States. It's like looking at cars. They're all different and they're kind of similar but kind of funny looking, and they're smaller and they're bubblier. And I found 55 3D printers at Maker Faire Rome that I had never seen before. European companies, Chinese companies, and this is, there's 20 of them right here. I grabbed a bunch of the photos and I put them here. But just, you know, taking a couple steps back to that 2005, the first Maker Faire, and having those four tables in the back, tucked away in the back corner. You know, you guys, you can go back there where nobody can see you with your little silly project, and the size and how much this has grown and exploded, and how this has become a humongous hundreds of millions of dollars industry, this consumer desktop 3D printing world, and it's quickly going to become multi-billion dollar industry. Really fascinating. So we're always looking for, you know, what are some of those next things that are coming up. One of the other pillars of the maker world, microcontrollers. Obviously Arduino has been humongous for the maker movement. This is, you know, one of the easiest, fastest electronics prototyping platforms that's ever come around, and it came about as an educational platform. From there, people have decided, oh, you know, we could also do these educational platforms. And you've got Raspberry Pi, you've got BeagleBone, and people have taken these boards and they've started doing incredible things and making products and making businesses around these devices. What I think is really interesting is now you're starting to see things where these companies have popped up and said, we're going to help make you guys make products and make businesses rather than giving you this prototyping board designed for education. So on the left here, this is the Raspberry Pi compute module. It's a SODIMM-sized, form-factored Raspberry Pi computer. On the right side is the Intel Edison, which is a postage stamp-sized computer. Both of them very powerful, capable machines that, you know, fresh on the market, and they're designed to allow people to build projects around and then turn those projects into consumer marketable products. The Auto Camera is the very first Raspberry Pi compute module project. This was up on Kickstarter not too long ago. This is a camera that has a Raspberry Pi inside of it, the compute module, but the compute module is Raspberry Pi with all the extras stripped out. You make your own board that compute module clips into, and you can make electronics around it. On the right side, this is an inside view of the Slice home media machine, and you can see that compute module right here clipped in, looking like a stick of RAM, but those are the brains of this device. And the idea is, these companies now, they say, let's allow you guys to make some projects around this and sell them, market them. The other one that we look at really closely, the drone space. And I don't know how the perception of drones, UAVs, or autonomous aircraft in Norway, there's still a lot of debate and discussion in the United States about regulation, restriction, and even the discussion of this, because there's political aspects and angles when we talk about the word drone. But in the maker space, we're really, we look at drones specifically being, the multi-copters and fixed-wing aircraft, consumer-sized, as platforms and tools that allow makers to do projects and ideas and endeavors that had never been thought of before, and this is a whole new avenue of things that can pop up. So you look at some of the early output that people, as they were playing around with the electronics, and a lot of these electronics came from the Arduino movement, where they shrank in size and grew in power, and you could fly autonomous aircraft like this little simple tricopter. But now you've got companies, and this is, again, looking at the Maker Pro world, 3D robotics with their, you know, they've got incredible amount of projects and output that they're doing on the software and hardware side. But while I was at Maker Faire Rome, I finally got to meet the guys from Bitcraze, which is a Swedish company doing a tiny handheld size quadcopter called the Crazy Fly Nano. And they just came out with the Crazy Fly 2, which I think has the potential to really disrupt and push the drone movement a lot further. They're putting this expansion board capability on there. So imagine you've got your palm-sized quadcopter, you want to pop a camera on it, and you swap it in there, you pull that off, you can put an induction charger on there, land it on your charging pad, and they're working on a GPS chip for this as well, which once the GPS chip happens, suddenly you're going to have swarms of autonomous tiny little quadcopters going out searching for survivors in avalanche areas and so forth. So exciting stuff. Okay, so let's get to the last little bit here, the future, and where things are headed. And I've been thinking about Norway with this, so we'll talk about that for a bit here. So if you ask me, what's the future? Where's the maker movement headed? What are some of the things that we're going to start looking for and looking at? I think that we're reaching the point where we're getting some really great access into the DIY bio space. We've got new, an incredible movement in the robotics space, you know, some of the developments that are happening there. If you guys get a chance to check out this InMove 3D printed robot project, comes out of France, but it's a global open source project. It's just gorgeous. And then the medical space as well. This is a 3D printed heart from the Louisville, Kentucky medical center team from University of Louisville, where they're doing a lot of the looking at the inside of organs to help figure out how to do surgery as best possible. And what I didn't put on here is I also think that the space race, the makers in space is also one of the big booming things that's going to be popping up. So Norway's got a great tradition of exploration and being hands-on. And if you know, you look at Roald and Thor, who both helped push the capabilities of their tools into new places. And I'm assuming everybody's familiar with these two guys. I think they're national heroes here. But you look at these two guys, you know, and also taking a step before them, you know, just the Viking culture as well. There's some really pretty amazing things have come from Norway, and I think that there's always been this sort of cavalier, gung-ho exploration spirit, which is really essentially that's the maker spirit. My involvement with Norway through the years has always given me a perception of Norway as being a very technologically advanced place as well. One of the things, so last night, one of my buddies from grad school came over and we chatted through some of the stuff I was talking about, and he said, you know, one of the things, the last time that I was in Norway was 11 years ago, and when I was here 11 years ago, I saw cell phones that I'd never seen before, thought about, and my friend Jan, he was showing me great stuff back then. He said, you know, what happened is a lot like the NMT technology, which I think maybe you guys, some of you are familiar with as well, a lot of this stuff developed through Norway, but it didn't take root here as much as it should have and could have, this really could have grown into something big. And, you know, you see companies like Ericsson and Nokia and then, of course, Apple, which just leveled the playing field. Now everybody's got an iPhone. Last time I was here, I saw cell phones I'd never seen before. This time I'm here, and I see the cell phone that everybody's got the same cell phone I have in my pocket, which is interesting. But the other thing that I've always admired about Norway is its approach to natural resources. And, you know, the oil reserves, the way that it's turned the oil reserves into something that's really been a big benefit for the nation and for all of its population. From things that I've heard, though, the oil reserves are starting to get to a point where they're possibly on the decline. Although, last night in the same conversation, my friend was explaining to me that, you know, at the same time, technology has extended these oil reserves decades beyond what we expected them to become. So, either way, thinking about these oil reserves, thinking about the natural resources, thinking about, you know, what's the future, where is it going, this is the part that I want to wrap up with this is, my challenge to everybody is, you know, let's think about this forest that we need to plant. Let's think about what's coming up in the future and how do we want to take advantage of that. And I personally feel that, you know, the things that are happening in the maker movement, the maker space, you know, this the community driving itself forward and having control of its destiny is what I get most excited about. You know, maybe the future is, maybe it's finance. I don't know, maybe this Norway needs to become the next Dubai, but I personally think that the spirit that it come from with, you know, through these the explorers, the technology, and the brain power that's here, I think that there's a lot of excitement. So I'm gonna leave with this picture. This is the forest in Portugal that was planted, that still exists, that became the natural resources to help Portugal plant its flag around the planet. And I want you guys to think about what's your forest? What are you guys going to plant? You may not see the forest grow to maturity, but feel good about getting something great started. And I think that, you know, we're off to a good start. So that's what I'll leave you guys with.